The San Jose Sharks Audio Network is on 24 hours a day. Whether you're in the office or on the go, make sure that you download the Sharks SAP Center app and hit listen anytime. You can also find us on your computer by going to sjsharks.com/listen. If it's a game broadcast, breaking news, or a player feature, the place to find it is right here on the San Jose Sharks Audio Network. It's time for the Sharks Morning Skate with all the latest on San Jose Sharks hockey. Here are your hosts, Dan Rusinowski and Drew Remenda.
It's morning in San Jose, and it's such a sunny day. After a big victory against the Colorado Avalanche yesterday, the Sharks take on the Detroit Red Wings. And Drew, yesterday felt really good.
It felt terrific. First period, lots of jump by the Colorado Avalanche, and they score early. But as that period goes on, the Sharks settle down. They kind of get a game back. Second period, or Sharks second periods that we've seen throughout the last couple of years, where they just don't manage the puck well. They don't check well. They don't pick up the pace of their game away from the puck. They just seem to just be there in the second. But in the third period, I really like their third period. What did you think? I thought they played good third.
They were great. All three zones in the third period. I think that was driven in part by the fact that the top six were going really well. Macklin Celebrini drives the game. We talked about that in our second intermission check-in on the Sharks Audio Network yesterday. But also in the third period, this Wenberg line defensively is really, really solid. I mean, think about it. They're going up against Nathan MacKinnon's line. They've given up a goal in the first 30 seconds of the game. And, you know, in the past, you would have seen them kind of cave in or fold after that. But it was almost as if when they got outshot 30-11 in the first two periods, that it made them mad.
Yeah.
And then they came out and they were very determined. The other thing was that in the first intermission, I think I looked at the faceoffs and it was like 75% in favor of Colorado.
Yeah.
And it ended up 49%. That's a darn good switch. That's almost like taking an 0-8-1 team and making the playoffs.
They did, I think, you're right about getting mad. We're maybe seeing some growth. You know, we've talked about this before. Individuals, we've seen some growth, but team-wise, we haven't seen as much as we'd like. And the Wenberg line, as you talked about, the other thing they made, they played defense, but they also made MacKinnon's line play defense on more than one occasion. They had him in their zone quite a bit. So that was a terrific thing about them. I like them because they exited the zone really quick. I like them because they hang on the pucks in the offensive zone, and they're starting to read off each other really well. So I liked it. I like the way they play.
Well, a couple of examples for that. Mukhtar Mudulin, a really good up to Toffoli on that goal. He had a really solid game, but that was a really good exit of the zone with a very nice pass right on the tape to Toffoli. Could get it over to Macklin, and what a great wrist shot. And then the other one on Kurashev's first goal, Delandria. What a play he made along the boards just to get the puck over to Kurashev. And Philip Kurashev is just a godsend right now for his skill. He's really starting to utilize it. I think he always had it when he was in Chicago. But the way that his game was being utilized there probably wasn't showcasing all of his best talents. And I think that's what head coach Ryan Warsawski was talking about after the game. He said, you know, we're just getting him into a rhythm. He's playing. He's got good chemistry with his line mates. And he's just starting to do what he's able to do.
Yeah, absolutely. He was, his first year with Chicago, he had 17 goals. My team wasn't very good. And then he was injured last year and struggled. But this year, if Chicago doesn't sign him, we get the benefit. And that's really good work, again, by Mike Greer and his staff. Early in this year, he is one of the better players on the San Jose Sharks, which is great. But you said it. He's got great offensive skills. He reads off of Wenberg and Eklund really well, knows where to get to the middle. That first goal was Wenberg. He said it was Delandre. That's a smart play by him. The other aspect of him is that he's a good skater. Like he gets up the ice. You can't play in this league if you can't skate. But he checks well, does a good job along the boards. What I think the big key with not only him but the team in the third period is what they're going to have to do tonight against Detroit is check. Like KGB hockey, as you talked about, check, check, check. You have to make sure you keep after the puck. As soon as you lose it, you got to get on it.
Yeah, that's the only way they're going to win tonight. And, you know, they're going to have to get good goaltending, too. We're expecting that Alex Nedeljkovic will be in goal, playing against yet another former team. He'll be motivated for that. But last night, I just couldn't help it during the course of the play-by-play. Yaroslav Askarov made a couple of brilliant stops. The two that I remember the most are right at the end of the game. One on Brent Burns, and then the one in overtime when Nichushkin powered his way on Will Smith out in front, and he just stayed with it, stayed focused, and made a great stop. Those are the two saves that I remember. But, of course, the one that everybody else remembers is when he bobbled and fell down and got back in time to stop Parker Kelly the first time with an amazing acrobatic save, and then he stood tall and stopped him again to end the play. Parker Kelly so mad. All I could say on the air was that reminded me of a guy who wore number 32, Arturs Urbay, who used to do that regularly.
Yeah, he used to give us heart attacks on the bench, without a doubt. That one and off the post, where that one that was deflected off the post went off one of the Sharks or one of us, one of the Avs, I can't remember, right about 40 seconds left in the game. I said to Sean Madison, our producer, and I said, that would have been the sharkiest of shark ways to lose that type of game after they played so well in the third. I was impressed in the overtime with the way the guys played. They won the draw, they get a chance. The Avalanche get a chance, the Sharks get a chance. I liked the way that they played the game in overtime. They were on their toes against a very, very good hockey team.
Good coaching decision, too. They put three forwards out there to win the game, and, you know, they were just going for it.
Yeah, exactly. But you talked about the move, Kachushkin's move. He recognized that, you know, there was a forward out in the ice. He recognized it was Will Smith, so he drove the net. But Askey comes across on that. He comes across, and he just gets that right pad out. Down low, man, he's a hard guy to beat. Because he's so long and lanky, and he just reaches that right pad out with a beautiful save. But overall, now it's the great thing about the National Hockey League. Even when you win, you got to park that thing and you got to get ready for the game that you're playing the next night. And so it's going to be a very tough task, because Detroit's pretty much where they thought, I think, they'd be in the standings and the way that they're playing. But they're still looking for that, you know, next level push that every team who's on the outside looking in on the last couple of years is looking to get to another level.
I think it's been about 3 years now when we all thought, is this going to be year that they finally push through?
Yeah.
You know, the more I think about it, and I think that several people have made this point, that they say that it's harder to get to the elite level than it is to actually get into the playoffs, but this middle area where you're like from about 17 to 21, it's really hard to get into the playoffs from that point. And it's partly because of the way the schedule is, the way that they count points for wins, losses, and all these OTs and all this other stuff. And also because of the parity around the league, right? But look at this Detroit team. I mean, Dylan Larkin, Alex DeBrincat, Lucas Raymond, those are the top three scorers on this team. They could be on any great team in the league and be in the top six without question of a doubt. Patrick Kane is, you know, he's not even healthy at this point, but he's going to help their team. Moritz Seider on defense, and the other kid, Edvinson, I really like too. He was the guy that was taken one pick before William Eklund. These are really good players that are young, that are coming up, but it's kind of a portent of things to come maybe for the Sharks, because you're looking at trying to get into that next group is really going to be a challenge, even if you're as talented a young group as the Sharks are. This Red Wings team, I think, is really close to becoming, if they get into the playoffs, I think they'll do some damage.
I think they could, without a doubt. As we know, they're very well coached. As we know that Cam Talbot's a good goaltender. I was around Cam in Edmonton, an outstanding human being and a very good goaltender. But you talked about the guy that's driving that team is Dylan Larkin. Dylan Larkin is an incredible hockey player. He's going to be a big bonus for Team USA at the Olympics. This is a very good hockey team that can explode offensively. So you have to make sure that you are on your game above the play. You can't lax in your defensive zone and give them time and space. And this is a team that works very, very hard. And the Sharks are coming off a big win, coming off two in a row for the first time in a while. And an overtime win against the best team and one of the other best teams in New Jersey. They're proving, I think, Danny, to themselves that they can play at a high level. And that's the importance, the aspect of it, is that believing in each other and having that belief system permeate throughout
Couple of decisions for the game today. We'll find out when we actually get on the ice. Obviously, Tim Liljegren, a fluke accident. They're really, really tough. We'll see what the status of that is. Ryan Reeves was day-to-day as of yesterday. We'll see what the status of his play is and what the decision is for the Sharks on defense. But the bottom line is that we're on the air at 4:30 today with an exciting broadcast, the Sharks and the Red Wings. That's it for the Morning Skate today.
You've been listening to the Sharks Morning Skate. Make sure you're listening all season long to the latest Sharks news and information right here on the San Jose Sharks Audio Network.